What's up, everybody? My name is Lee. Some of you guys might know me as Intuition, and you are tuned in to Kinda Neat. Thank you for tuning in as always. If this is your first time tuning in, I'm going to be doing some talking about myself. That is how we start the show. If you listen all the time, you already know that. But yeah, so if you're just here to hear about Earth Gang, which I'm happy that you found us, if you are, there will be a timestamp in the YouTube video and there will be a beat that you will hear, and that's when the show is going to start. But if you are a weekly follower and you tune in every week, please go to patreon.com/kindaneat and you can pledge and help keep the lights on around here. Pledge $1 a show. That's about $4 a month if we're on a good month. Most of the time, let's keep it 100. It's only about $2 a month. But yeah, if you want to support us, Ben and I would be very grateful for that. And we thank you if you are supporting us. And let's keep going. So yeah, like I said, this week we have Earth Gang on. They have been one of our most requested guests as of late, ever since having JID on. Jid, shout out Jid, shout out Spillage Village. The YouTube videos, we always get comments saying, when's Earth Gang coming on? When's Earth Gang coming on? So we finally got them on. Couldn't be happier. Two cool motherfuckers that were very easy to talk to, very informative podcast, open and easy conversation. And I always love when that happens because not only does it make my job easy, but I'm sure it makes listening to the podcast easy. So couldn't give more praises to Earth Gang and Spillage Village as a whole. Really fuck with their whole movement. Oh, fuck with the movement I'm trying to build, fam. But anyway, we were on a little break again. I'm always apologizing for hiatuses, as you know. But that is because I was in Japan for the last 2 weeks on a snowboarding excursion, which I know is some super broed out shit. But what can you do? I was raised in Alaska. I like to snowboard. And in talking to professional snowboarders that we photographed over the years, I always ask them, like, where's the best snow at? If you had your druthers, where would you go snowboard at? They always say Japan. So, as luck would have it, a couple years ago when I went to Australia, I met a homie out there named Dylan. Shout out Dylan. He's also the homie that redid the new Kinda Neat logo, which you guys can see at kindaneat.net, which is a fully redesigned website that looks fantastic and very presentable and easy to navigate now. So yeah, my homie Dylan was like, oh, you know, I have a mate out in Japan that got a hotel. And it's in Hakuba, and they, like, know the mountains like the back of their hands, and we could go stay there for free. And I said, wow, that sounds too good to be true. Let's do that. And then I managed to find a flight for very cheap, like, using airline miles. And so I, for all intents and purposes, it was a free flight out there. And then we had a free room and board. Shout out to OzSnow.com. Shout out to my man, Lee. There's another Lee out there. Treated us very kindly. And the trip was fantastic. Some of the best terrain I've ever experienced in my life. Like, when they talk about the snow in Japan, it was astounding. It was light and fluffy, and it was dumping for 3 days at a time, and then the weather clears up for one day, and there's a bluebird, and you kind of have a day off from all the stress of the snow and low visibility, and then it's right back to the powder. And, I mean, the whole time, we're just riding through waist deep snow and trees and just like some of the deepest powder runs that I've ever taken in my life that were like, when I was a kid, I used to have like snowboarding dreams sometimes, as kooky as that sounds. And these were that. You're just like floating. You can't feel any of the snow surface beneath your feet. You're just kind of like floating on top of it. And it was amazing. That being said, it wasn't really a Japanese vacation so much. It was more of like an Australian vacation with a Japanese mountain backdrop, because everybody in Hakuba is Australian people. Skiing and snowboarding is apparently not that huge of an industry in Japan. So what happens is it's only a 2-hour time difference between Japan and Australia, but it's opposite seasons because of the hemispheres. So in Japan, it's winter right now, but in Australia, it's summer. And with a quick 8-hour flight, these guys can go from like 100-degree weather in Australia right now just to like banging, dumping, puking snow in Japan. And they don't have any jet lag or anything. Me, it's about a 24-hour journey from the time that I leave my apartment in Los Angeles to when I finally like got into a bed in Japan. Because once you land in Narita, there's waiting around for your group, and then you hop on a bus and it's another 5 hours. So it was a long fucking day, but I powered through the jet lag. I stayed awake even with the 17-hour time difference, And I got up the first morning that we were there and rode, and we rode every day after that pretty much. I think we only took 1 or 2 days off in the whole 10 that I was there. But yeah, it was fantastic. I mean, and having the dudes that work there season round that just know the mountains like the back of their hand, like they were pretty much just pointing, and then and every run was like all time epic shit that like I would have never found had I just like gone there on my own. You know what I mean? It was amazing, and hopefully I'll do it again in the future one day. If I do, I'll probably get it, take a different snowboard, and rather than riding just like an all mountain board, I'll get a one of those like fishtail powder specific boards, which I've always thought were like so goofy looking. But now after riding snow like that, I'm like, oh, I understand why you would need one of those, because it's probably a lot less work to keep your nose above the snow. But yeah, I'm back, and we got a lot of episodes lined up, and the site has been redesigned, and I'm looking forward to it. I finally feel like, even though it's the middle of fucking February, I feel like I'm finally done with all the holidays and like back in work mode and, you know, ready to grind it out this year, fam. Nah, I'm feeling very inspired with the website redesigned and with some of the guests that we have coming up, and just I'm doubling down on our curation, where like I'm really going to stop worrying about the guests' metrics that I have on. I'm going to stop worrying so much about like, oh, I think this person's popping or is about to pop. And I'm going to like really just be looking for music that I like and trying to get the people who make songs that I'm super impressed with on the show. And so, you know, I have a feeling that this year there'll be a lot more R&B acts on and singers, singer-songwriters. I'm going to try to like diversify a little bit, but also we're going to have tons of great rappers, just like Earth Gang today. Just because I have a new, I'm kind of feeling rejuvenated with like listening to music and finding music. And then with this content that I'm working on with Skull Candy, I'm making them like playlists every week over on skullcandy.com, which you can go check out. And that's really like making me pay a lot more attention to new music that's coming out than I have in the last couple of years. And so I think shit that I'm finding as I'm scouring the internet, looking for music to put on playlists every week, is really going to open some doors to guests that we get on here. So all of that is good news for me as the purveyor of this program, but also hopefully for you guys as listeners. That being said, I think a lot of people that are going to be on the show this year, you probably will not have heard of, or hopefully you haven't heard of yet, but I hope that every song that ends up on the channel, you guys will give a really good listen and a really objective listen, and not be like, oh, this isn't what I expected, because I don't care what you expect. Like, I just want you to listen to shit and be like, oh yeah, this is like certifiably dope. Because that's my, I'm doubling down this year on that, of like really dialing in the curation. And I'm not gonna really like worry as much about the views while everybody else is worrying about the views, and I know that's the smarter route to do it. I'm really gonna just like worry really hard about the music this year. And that is kind of my intention, I suppose. So, but then again, you're still going to see like some fucking favorites returning, and the consistency is always going to be there. So yeah. Anyhow, without further ado, I'm going to get into my conversation with Doc and Johnny Venus from Earth Gang. Spillage Village, Bears Like This Too Much, dropped at the end of last year. And if you've not heard that, you should. Our man JID Jid is on that. Has a couple of, or maybe three or four, like really great verses and songs on that compilation tape as well. Features like Boz and J. Cole, like there are, that's not, that album, that record has some joints. And so, yeah, without any further ado, here's my conversation with Earth Gang. How long you guys known each other?
Since high school.
High school.
It's probably been like,
it was a minute ago. It was like
10, 12 years.
Wow. And yeah. Did you guys immediately start working together?
No, we was just hanging out for a long time. And like, we had like a squad of niggas we should just hang with. And then we had a squad of niggas that we knew all wrapped around us. And then we was trying to make that a thing. And then we talked about several different things before we just ended up being Earth Gang. We talked about doing that for a while. For a little while, there was talk going around of like a super Atlanta group that was supposed to be happening of niggas that was our age, you know what I'm saying, coming out of high school, 08, 09. And then, goddamn, that didn't really take off. And then it was a whole little... So eventually what it just came down to, we both end up at the same school after high school. And then that shit really when it solidified. Like, it was us two.
Right.
And it just, you know, we was like, fuck it, let's just do it. And then...
Jib was kind of telling me about that. Yeah, that's where we met.
We met Jib the freshman year in college.
What school was that?
That was at Hampton.
Okay, in
Virginia.
Right.
And first year, you know what I'm saying, first one of the first niggas we meet that we working with is Jib and then Hollywood JB.
Uh-huh.
And they've been down since then. You know what I'm saying? That's early. You know what I'm saying? I was 17 when I met Jib. 18 when I first remember working with JB. But I probably met him at 17 too. You know what I'm saying? But like that was a minute ago. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And then we
I mean, we basically just started perfecting our craft throughout college. You know what I'm saying? Like we both had our majors and what we was majoring in them. But like night school and day school was this for real.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we both graduated, whatever. We got our stuff, we got our shit, got our knowledge, but like, this was like
I ain't learned nothing in college.
You know what I'm saying?
I said that every time. I don't give a fuck what nobody said about me. That's true. I didn't. I knew everything I learned in school. I learned this in school. I'm not saying don't go to school. I learned a lot of shit in high school. When I got to college, I was not challenged at all.
Really?
No, fuck that.
I kind of felt the same way in college. Like, I was just retaking classes I'd already taken in high school.
Stupid as shit. Now, my major was psychology, so maybe that has something to do with it, but... I don't, you know what I'm saying? I learned more about my life and myself in high school than any other point of my life. Like, our high school was, like, really, like, it was like a nigga-ass high school. Like, it was, like, you know what I'm saying? It's on the west side. It's, like,
Of Atlanta.
Yeah. It's, like, all our teachers was black, and, like, a lot of our teachers was, like, you know what I'm saying, either with the Nation or, you know what I'm saying, we had a few that was ex-Panthers. We had a few that was just, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's in Atlanta, so it's, like, it's in a historically black part of the city, too, like, not too far from, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, not too far from, like, where a lot of civil rights shit went down. But, like, it was just, but the school was just in like, close to all of that shit.
Right.
So our upbringing and they was going out of the way like to teach nigga shit. Like the dumbest nigga in our school was still like, you be a street nigga, say whatever you want about him, but like he still gonna know more than a lot of niggas in a lot of other places. And that's just, you know what I'm saying, that's just a packet we came from.
Last episode we just had this dude on, Deontay Hitchcock from South.
Oh shit!
You guys know Deontay?
Yeah, we know that nigga.
Hey, he's
man.
A good dude. Bars up too.
Yeah, no, but Deontay be rapping.
He was saying the same thing, like Southside Atlanta. He was saying like, man, there's barely any white kids in my high school. He's like, I never really seen white people until I went off to college.
When you go to the south, we go south of 20, south of I-20. Yeah. Like that's like the black side of town. You know, it's like Southeast Atlanta Zone 3. That's where my folks from. Like. That's where my grandma raised, but a lot of them came from, you know, South Georgia or whatever came up. A lot of them stay right there in Hayville area, Pool Creek area. And then when I was born, they had moved over to the west side, the southwest Atlanta. So that's where I grew up. So it's like, you know what I'm saying? I got it both. Like, I was over there in the 4, and then Sunday I was over there in the 3, day and night. Like a lot of my folks, my pop was played the first game at Lakewood Stadium. That's like a historic stadium in Atlanta. Like played the first football game.
Oh,
that's where all the Atlanta public schools like run track, you know what I'm saying, play sports, do all that shit. Like he was in the first game over there. So like we threw him through, you know?
So when I talk to people from Atlanta, I generally hear them talk about like West Atlanta, South Atlanta, and the East Atlanta. So you got them separated into the four, like North, South, East, West. What's the difference between the four regions on a microcosm level?
Very, very small. For one, now today Atlanta is blurring and blending so much because of the internet. It's two things. It's the internet and it's the amount of motherfuckers moving there. It's like causing the influx of it's just becoming such a big place. It's really just gonna be like, are you really from Atlanta or not? That's what's gonna come down to, and that's what it has come down to for at least probably really the past 5 years. But historically, like when we was kids coming up in that shit, like in the 2000s, shit, like early 2000s, it was like you from the west side. You know what I'm saying? West side is like you got niggas like, you know what I'm saying, like what like T.I. and shit. You know what I'm saying? And on down. Like, west side went on down to southwest, and then you got the east side. But then, like, it's like northeast was, like, a whole different thing. It was, like, I buy Decatur and all that shit.
Yeah.
And then, like, the southeast corner of the city was a little, actually, more inward. It's like where like Thug and them from, like Young Thug and shit like
was
that.
Was Decatur like Dungeon Fam?
No, they're from Southwest Atlanta.
From Southwest, okay, yeah, my bad.
Goodemont and then went to the same high school we went to. Mm.
No shit.
Yeah, like, I mean, obviously yeah, but, way before us. But the like, way, like,
were those guys big influences to you?
Yeah, I mean, they
among a lot, but yeah, yeah. They in there like a lot of stuff.
And right. the way Decatur was formed, a lot of folks from the west side moved over to the like to the east and to the suburbs. Like when Atlanta was coming up, like in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, like it was really like South Side, you know what I'm saying? Like the South Side, you had Boulevard, you had Auburn Avenue, you know what I'm saying? Then you had the West Side. But like once that like during the 80s when the influx came and just yeah. like, you know what I'm saying, people started getting money in the 90s and stuff, like people started moving out the hood into the suburbs and stuff. But we from like that super pocket. So like Decatur, you'd be surprised, like Decatur's super black, you know what uh-huh. I'm saying? It's like it's quote unquote a suburb, but like it's really its own city.
Man, Decatur,
it's hella
hood,
black
bro.
People stay over there in Decatur because they came from where we from. They like this the next generation of like our grandparents and stuff, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's pretty amazing. So, I mean,
now
like
that's
super
East Atlanta, you know what I'm saying? Now it's the East Side. So like by the time we was in school and shit, and like I said, in 2000s, niggas, it was the East Side was like where we stayed. The East Side was where it was the other side. It was like Decatur and shit, and the West Side was where we was. So like Baby D and shit used to drop records, and you know what I'm saying, Lil Jon and shit used to drop records. Like they was always East Side, West Side, East Side, West Side.
So
it was East Side, West Side, East Side, West Side for the longest. And then now this is still within our city. And then the South Side would be having niggas like 2 Chainz and like Ludacris and shit like that. Mm-hmm. And then the North Side shit ain't happened until really the past like 10 years. That shit just started recently happening. And really the Migos took that on their own for real. I can't even, you could say other people came from down there, but nobody took it on like the way them niggas took that shit the fuck on. Like mm-hmm. the Migos made it a thing to be from the North Side. Like for real, when we was coming up, niggas wasn't always really hitting on the North Side like that. I barely
left the West Side when I was coming up. I didn't even go to the East Side. Like yeah. I was a about to say, West for real, End baby. You
that's
know
really
what
it was. Niggas
was.
Just stayed on their own side for real. Unless you was fucking a bitch somewhere else. You know what I'm saying? It was hella bitches on the North Side. Niggas just go fuck with and shit like that. But like it was like underrepresented, dude. And so like that's what always happens. If you got an area that's a part of town, it's like, look, but this is our part right here. Everybody who live up there are gonna agree with your ass, and then it's just gonna, psh, you right. know what I'm saying, punch through. So they really took that shit on, and then you got niggas like Made in Tokyo and shit who follow behind them niggas. But that whole North Side thing is very recent part of Atlanta. But because Atlanta's growing so big, it's actually necessary. You know what I'm saying?
That's where a lot of people. Like, I was just telling, that's where a lot of people come when they come, like, when they fly into the city. Like, you can't just fly into the city and then move to Cameron Road. You can't just fly into the city, you know what I'm saying, and then move to Cascade. Because, like, these are, like, communities, these, like, homes and stuff. Like, it's not, like, a lot of new developments and things like that. A lot of new developments on, like, the North Side, the East Side and stuff. So it's, like, a lot of young people and a lot of new families that come. But, like, it still has that atmosphere of, like, that melting pot, you know what I'm saying? Like, where we from, it's, like, generational, like, community right there. And so when we leave the West Side, we go out and we see that. You can hit Lenox, you get the East Side and stuff. But, like, within the past 10 to 15 years, when Atlanta has become that mecca and stuff, like,
yeah.
most of the development has been on the northeast side, the east side. Like, in the west side, like, we don't really have condos.
The west side,
the
oldest side.
I remember the first time I seen the condo in the West End, it used to be where the old Sears used to be. Because you could, like, from where I grew up, you could see the city, the skyline, and all that shit. Like, from where I stayed,
right.
They threw the condo. I was like, bro, what's this? You know
where
what I'm
my
saying?
View,
like,
girl.
They still had neighborhood planning, you know, meetings and stuff like that. Where they like, look, man, we dig it, man. But if you bring condos over here to the West Side, it has to be for the people, though. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? It can't just be super new condos like it be up on
like
Boulevard.
Some gentrification.
Yeah. Like it's really hard to gentrify the West Side because. A lot of people own their homes, and right. it's a lot of people like between the ages of like 30 to like 80. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's like you guys have to wait till they die out, but they probably gonna just get this shit to their kids. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like
it's
not
generation.
Fools. You know
some
what I'm saying? Smart ones will.
Hey
like,
man, them white folks gonna take that shit.
The smart
right?
ones, you think?
The hell yeah,
man. What people don't know is Atlanta is like. Atlanta, people probably know Atlanta is the biggest black city.
Right.
You know what I'm saying in the
Definitely,
country,
100%.
But it's really the last. Gentrified city as well because
like has been holding off against gentrification.
Yes, but it's been happening through like the belt line and things like that. But on the west side where we are,
it's starting to happen.
It's starting to happen.
Oh, it's definitely happening.
But
they cracked the
seal.
But
where we live, it's hard to just like dive in there like that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because people been there since the 70s, and 60s.
I feel like you're not going to kick black folks out of Atlanta.
Yeah, no, it's going to be very, very completely difficult. Like, I mean, you see this new generation right now, and this new generation is influencing so many other races and so many people. So, like, you know, like if you were to do that, you would, like, take the heartbeat away. You know what I'm saying?
I used to work on Metropolitan. I used to do this job where I used to go around, talking to kids and shit. And I knew a white family that lived on Deal Avenue. Like, y'all ever out there know about Deal? That's not where no white folks ever stayed, bro. Like, that shit, like, on the corner. It's like, deal, like, if you stay on Metropolitan and you headed toward, like, you headed out west a little bit, like, on Camden and shit like that. Like, niggas stay on Deal. Like,
But niggas still stay on Deal.
And that's what I'm saying. But the fact that it was a very comfortable white family in that bitch, like, a very young white family with a belt, like, yo, niggas cracking in. And that, you know what I'm saying? It is what it is. City change. Right. I want to fight that shit. But niggas got other things I think we need to goddamn do first. And then it'll help to solidify our communities anyway. But you can't just directly say, I'm going to fight.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You just got to be like, look, we got to solidify ourselves. You know what I'm saying?
That's what it is. I mean, the way Atlanta was born is in a certain extent. You know what I'm saying? After the Civil Rights era, it was like, That whole community sprouted about. Like, a lot of folks started taking care of each other, like, especially after, like, schools started becoming, you know what I'm saying, desegregated and stuff. Yeah. So, like, a lot of schools, like, Long, Grady, things like that. But Washington always been, like, a black school, you know what I'm saying? So, like, that whole West Side area, like, MLK, that's been, like, a super black era, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's Booker T. Washington High School. It's Benjamin E. Mays High School. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? These are high schools. Frederick Douglass High School, named after, you know what I'm saying, black leaders. Like, so you can't just come in and be like, I'm going to take this high school. Because you take a high school, you take a whole community. So it's like certain pockets and certain areas have been that way for many years. So it's like you said, it's not like you just sit up there and I'm going to fight this. It's really just, like, regaining what you had or regaining, you know what I'm saying, your foot and what you represent, also what you present to other communities. Because it's like, I mean, the world is a big melting pot, you know what I'm saying? Let's say it's a fist, five races, whatever. Like, you can't be a part of that fist if you're not bringing what you got to the table, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of times we feel like, you know, we got to lose what we got in order to be a part of it. But it's like, yo, we just as valuable when we bring what we are and who we are to it. You know what I'm saying? So the same thing with our communities. Like, a lot of people are moving into the West End, moving into the West Side because there's a lot of culture there. There's a lot of mom and pop shops. There's a lot of activity going on over there. But if we don't reclaim that and really boost that, because, like, it's a lot of vegan stores, a lot of people who really actually know what they're doing over there. You know what I'm saying? Like, Tysidis, like, you come in there, I seen a white girl in there playing on the djembe, you know what I'm saying, on the drum. So it's not like, it's room for people to learn from each other, but only when you know your shit. Right. That's the only way you can be able to present it and teach somebody else, you know?
All right, bro, I'm high. Ask me something fun, bro.
I'm curious.
He's in it, though.
I love talking about this kind of shit, so I'm interested. But I just what happened, like, a couple weeks ago with, like, the fucking, our shitty president feuding with John Lewis. Like, how did that feel as a native Atlantan to hear the fucking president going, like,
man, I can't
take care of your neighborhoods, they're falling apart.
I can't pay attention to him, because, He's out of touch, basically. Oh, he's out of touch with so many people. I just be like,
Trump is a representation of something that's been manifesting a long time within our country, and it is what it is. It's just what I've been thinking about a lot lately is just, you know what I'm saying, just what happens long term to the shit you do. You know what I'm saying? This is a long term thing that was coming for us, and Niggas kept thinking they were like, this is basically just the universe holding us accountable for our shit. Now, when I say us, I don't just mean black folks or white folks or whatever. I mean everybody. Like, look, we fucked up. Like, that was, you know what I'm saying? And now a lot of lessons got to be learned as a result of it. But you know what I'm saying? Like, when it comes to the Trump stuff, at first I was super like I was watching the news every morning for his entire, since his inauguration. Mm-hmm. I watched the news every morning. And then this week, I stopped doing it.
You gotta take some time for self-care.
This week, I stopped doing it, and I was like, you know what, bro? Like, straight up, bro, at the end of the day, you gonna It's not the first time we had a president that wasn't good for us.
Right.
Not the first time we had to overcome some bullshit. And whatever strength we get from this process is going to end up getting delivered to our children. So it's like, that's how you just got to look at it. Like, look, this is for us to give something stronger to the next generation. That's all we can think about.
I used to watch the news all the time when Barack Obama was president. And I was like, I can't watch this, though. Like, even during his first campaign, during his first and second campaigns, like, I was, like, on it. You know what I'm saying? But I was like, yo, like, switching from CNN to Fox to NBC, just seeing what the climate was. But after a while, you're just like, yo, like, all these people, this shit don't matter what they saying. Like, this shit don't matter. You know how people feel, and you yourself, if you're able to put your feelings into action, that's way more important than sitting here watching people talk all day long.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So, I mean, like, it's that silver lining, yo. Like, you put too much power in the government, you put too much power in people, like, you actually just have to learn how to, you know, lean on community and be conservative and bring your stuff to the table. Like, I'm going to save this. You know what I'm saying? This is important to me. I'm going to be resourceful. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not finna sit up here and wait for anything or wait for anybody to do anything for me. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to be self-sufficient.
So tell me more about growing up in Atlanta as kids. What did you guys do to stay busy? Is it lots of sports or was it schooling for you?
We did a lot of stuff. I grew up in a household of a bunch of brothers and, always doing a bunch of stuff to compete.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
How many brothers?
I had two brothers of my own, and then my mom took in two of her nephews along my growing
up. Also, lots of competition.
I was the oldest. Everybody ran through the baseball circuit. Everybody played football.
Oh, you're a ball player?
They got hurt. Yeah. I'm actually pretty nice playing baseball. My little brother, he kind of shitting on the world. Y'all look up Kyle Parker on whatever that website is.
Let me guess what you played. Because I like to size people up and be like, oh, you're like a left fielder, huh?
I did left field and I played third base.
Third base, the hot corner. Yeah, damn, nice. So you had a good glove.
Yeah, I could catch.
You could hit too, probably, huh?
Yeah, I was solid.
Nice.
I was solid. I was the oldest, so I had to, you know what I'm saying? But my brothers also played, you know what I'm saying? My little brother Yuri also played football, and like, my other brother played basketball. So, like, niggas do shit.
Right.
But, you know.
You grew up in church?
Not really. I had, like, a good little church background when I was, like, maybe, like, in, like, elementary school. But the older we got, I know I was, by the time I got to middle school, I was a little, not rambunctious, but my mom put me on a martyr bus, and then that was just that. Like, when she taught me how to goddamn, I was like 11 when I first started, like, riding the bus by myself, and I was just like, well, the city is mine now, you know what I'm saying? So,
right.
It was like, I wasn't always just going to the right stuff as much, you know what I'm saying? But that happened for me very quickly, and as a result, like, I remember I was just really big on hanging with high school kids. Like, I just want to hang with niggas from grade. I just want to hang with niggas that go to the theater, hang with niggas that go. Like, I was just, that was my thing. I would just stay on the bus and just stay on the fucking bus. So by the time it came for, like, church and shit like that, like, we my mom would get us to go as she could. But it definitely wasn't, like, the thing that, I can't say I grew up in the church. But I say I do have a very strong spiritual background. My mom is a very church-going woman, you know what I'm saying? But I can't say she kept us in there as much.
Wait, how are you getting these high school kids to hang out with you when you're like 11 or 12?
Staying on the bus, just sitting on the bus. It's not they hanging out with me. I'm hanging out with them, bro.
Right.
I'm
like,
I used to just be tagging along with whatever kids I could. The hell, I was like, niggas was like, oh, that little nigga got the swag. Like, what? That didn't start happening until I was like 13.
Okay.
I remember being little, just like, stay on the bus. Like, niggas like, niggas be on the bus and just stay on that bitch.
Right, right. What about you?
Well, shoot, Johnny. I'm kind of like, a super contradict. Like, I'm an only child, right?
Right.
I'm an only child, but I grew up in church. Mm. But the church that I'm a part of, Shrine of the Black Madonna, is a West End stronghold. It's been there since, like, 74. And it's more like a village rather than a church, you know? Mm. So, like, I came up through it, like, from a baby, you know? So it's like, all the kids in there are blood to me, you know what I'm saying? Mm. Like, so the way I interact with people, like, if we down, we down, bro. Like, it really, like, we come from different mamas, but your mama's my mama, like, straight up. Your auntie is my auntie, and we slept in the same beds together. Like, we went to the same school together. We played at Perkinson Park. We used to go through the Perkinson Park, you know what I'm saying? Circle, like, football, baseball. Like, Minnesota used to take us to go play baseball and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of my big homies, you know what I'm saying? Like, they went to Brown. They went to Washington with me. So it's like, and these are feeder schools. This is like Brown Middle School. We feed into Washington High School. So it's like, we sprawled all over the West Side. So it's like, it's people I keep in touch with today, you know what I'm saying, who are across the country, you know, some in Detroit, some in Houston, but like these are people who I call family. So it's like
that you just grew up with
that
in the
church. Grew up with, you know what I'm saying, from like age 0 to 11,
right.
Showered with, you know what I'm saying,
right,
like
right.
Ran around with, you know what I'm saying, like fought with, like all right. That stuff, you know. It's like, so it's like I have a super extended family, you know.
How,
what I'm saying?
How small or big was that church?
Probably like, I would say probably about 200 to 300 people.
Right.
But like,
you just knew
we
everybody.
You knew everybody, yeah. Though. Like, so it's, sometimes when I go to like the different churches, I want to go to mega churches and stuff. Like, I can't fathom not knowing people, you know what I'm saying? Like going somewhere and not knowing the people, or not being able, not even interacting, but just going on Sunday and then going home is like, yo, like, are these your niggas or are these not your niggas? You know what I'm saying? Like, do you really rock with these niggas or mm-hmm. what are you here for? Like, so when I go, even when I, like, that's how I say, like, when I involve in any type of communal or group setting, you know what I'm saying? It's like, yo, like we bonded, you know? Like, it ain't really about just me, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? It's never about me, because when I was coming up, I really ain't have nothing.
Mm-hmm.
We used to share socks. You know what I'm saying? We had uniforms when we went to school.
Mm-hmm.
So I ain't really had no clothes till I went to like middle school and high school.
Right.
Like, I had about, you know what I'm saying, 4 pair of pants, 8 pair of shirts, you know what I'm saying? Like real life. So
right.
It's like, when I got to middle school and high school, that's when I started opening my eyes to like, oh shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is what's going on. This is this and that is that. Like, but when I was coming up, like it wasn't even that it was like super tough. It was just like, this is how it is. Like, we all share, we all live together. So that's kind of how I approach a lot of things. When I got to college and stuff, like all of that stuff was like, I remember when I was in elementary school, one of the teachers was like, yo, like you didn't really do this homework. You know what I'm saying? Like, all these answers are right. Like, you cheated. But I'm like, nah, this just how I was schooled. You know what I'm saying? Like, I really know what I'm doing. Like, so she made me, like, recant my statement, basically. You know what I'm saying? Like, that shit really fucked me up as a child. I was
you were, like, kind of homeschooled in the church or
well,
beforehand?
Well, I was, like, before, I went to kindergarten.
Right.
But from 0 to 6 years old, like,
you're
was
learning.
Doing timetables, multiplication, long
already.
Division. Already. Like,
wow.
So when I was in kindergarten, I went to Continental Colony Elementary School. So when I was in kindergarten, they was thinking about skipping me to third grade.
Holy shit.
But my mom was like, nah, I want him to grow up, you know what I'm saying,
right.
around his age.
Peers. Like,
and it's funny, because a lot of times I'm the oldest dude in my grade class. I guess a late birthday. My birthday's
right.
in October. So,
okay,
like,
yeah.
A lot of times I was older than most of the people in my grade
right.
class. But it was just, like, coming up and still feeling like an outsider to a certain extent, because I was like, yo, like, especially when you get to public school, like, I went to public school every grade.
Yeah.
But, like, before public school, it was, like, the complete opposite. It was, like, super homeschool.
Right.
So, like, I got, the best of both worlds and be able to interact with folks, be able to read people, be like, see, oh, this is a person who really cares about you, cares for you. But then somebody who's just out here wilding. You know
right.
what I'm saying? Like, so I got to see and be both. Like, sometimes I was out there wilding. Sometimes I ain't give a fuck. You know what I'm saying? Other times, like, things just started to shift and started making a change. Like, I used to play football and run track.
Uh-huh.
So, like, in 10th grade at Mays, I tore my ACL. Like, we went to state in 9th grade in track. So, 10th grade, I tore my ACL playing football. So, that, like, low-key ended my sports career. You know what I'm saying? So, like, and I was pretty damn good. I really don't like to brag, but, like, I was pretty damn good, you know. Like, if I were to focus on one thing, if I were probably to focus straight on track, like, I had some good coaches.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, whatever was going on with them, they left, went to another school the next year. I ended up tearing my ACL. So sports just was, like, you know what I'm saying, out the window. I ain't really get along with the coach that was coming up next. So I just went to writing, and I started doing drafting. So when I went to college, I was an architect
major.
Like
architecture.
Yeah,
okay,
architecture.
Yeah, yeah.
When I was in college, I was an architect major, switched over to graphic design. But the creativity, the you know what I'm saying, the attention to detail and the writing aspect, like, never left. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's when I really started writing back again. When I was young, when I was like 7 and 8, I used to write with my big homies, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, I came up with a lot of people. So it was like me, niggas 4 to 5 ages older than me, you know what I'm saying, taking me under their wing. But then when I got back to it, 10th, 11th grade, you know what I'm saying? It was just me. I met up with this cat. That's when we started doing our thing, was with some other folks. And then when we went up to college, I switched my major to graphic design. And, like, one of my big homies who I grew up with, he passed in a car accident. His name was Omar. He passed in a car accident. So, like, that was one of the first dudes who I used to write with, share rhymes with. So it was just, like, it was such a pivotal moment for me and for him, because you know what I'm saying? He was going through it. Yeah, it was just like, yo, like, I was talking with my homegirl. I was like, yo, when we went to college, like, a lot of stuff happened between, like, those first 2 to 3 years at home that we wasn't there for,
right,
that we wasn't able to, like, because we, you know, we like cornerstones to our family and stuff. Right. Like you said, he the oldest child. A lot of people depending on him. And like,
there's almost a sense of guilt in being gone of, like, I'm not there to take care of shit or something.
Yeah,
right?
So, like, I was like, yo, we poured that shit into our work. You know what I'm saying? Like, sometimes in the good way and sometimes in the bad, because, like, you don't have to do everything with a burden. Like, you don't have to do everything because you're sad. Like, you could be sad, take that, flip it, and then pour it into your work. But we poured both into our work, and we just was like, yo, head down, like, do this shit. We wasn't, the Hampton life shit, Hampton was cool, but we was never caught up in it. We ain't had the time. We had too much to lose to be caught up in it, to just be frolicking about, trying to go, you know what I'm saying, trying to be on the scene.
I ain't never had
trying
no
to be
spring
at all
break.
The party. Like, we never went to Miami for spring break.
I never went to work.
I went to work.
And that is what it is, you know what I'm saying? I ain't feel like I was missing nothing. I always felt like I was moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Laying bricks.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I always felt like I was doing more. So
brick by brick.
I ain't never tripped about that. I don't you know what I'm saying, care about that kind of stuff.
Right.
I do want to go on some trips. I'm trying to go to Hawaii and shit, you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to goddamn go to the underwater hotels
in the
Maldives.
South America real quick.
You did.
I just took, like, my first adult vacation. I went to Japan.
Ooh.
Yeah. It was pretty sick.
I need one of them.
I need vacation.
Usually I only travel for work shit. And
I never taken a vacation. I don't even know. I had, like, summer vacation. Like, and vacation when you were a kid, not really nothing, because you were just going to another family person.
Right. But exactly. Vacation as a kid is like, oh, we'll go to your aunt's house.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you just going to somebody else's crib. Like,
when you tore your ACL, did that kind of, like, did sports define you at the time and you had to, like, figure out who you were?
I'm
going to
tell you like this. I really, it's so crazy because coming up, I was, what defined me was doing what people said I couldn't do. That's what defined me. Mm. Like, so, like, being homeschooled from 0 to 6, I was like, yo, I know this stuff. And for this lady to try me in second grade, I was like, yo, I'm going to blaze through all my schoolwork. I don't care about this.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to get a 4.0, though, just because y'all tried me. So that defined me. You know what I'm saying? Seventh grade, you know, seventh grade niggas slip up. So I was wilding in seventh grade. I had smoked weed the first time in seventh grade.
Mm-hmm.
Me and my pops got into it. You know what I'm saying? Like, he caught me at ISS, like, punched me in my chest, cussed me out at school and all that stuff. So, like, after seventh grade, I was like, well, I'm going to just jump into these sports because I always been fast.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do these sports and I'm going to do this schoolwork. You know what I'm saying? So, like, those two things defined me. But when I told my ACL, like, a lot of times, like, with holistic healing and stuff, people is like, you got different pressure points in your body that, like, speak to different things. So, like, your upper back speaks to, like, stress.
Mm-hmm.
Your lower back speaks to, like, financial strain and stuff.
Mm.
But your knees are about ego. So, like, went like
really,
yeah. So
my knee has been hurting like a month.
What you say? So like, so when I told my ACL, I like it sat me down. Like I was on crutches for a minute. I was in a wheelchair for a minute in high school, 10th grade. When you trying to be the big man, you know what I'm saying? Like you was cool in 9th grade because you was hella fast. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Everybody was cool with you. You was coming from Brown Middle School. Y'all was 5-1 playing sports. So like everybody was, you know, they knew about you a little bit, but it was like okay. And sat me down in his wheelchair. I'm rolling around school. I'm going to stick to these books because
That's when we started getting cool.
That's when you guys made
you. Yeah, well, I ain't meet him because he broke his shit. Like, I met the nigga in 9th grade. He was still fast.
Uh-huh.
But that's when we started, like, kind of getting cool because I used to see that nigga in the hallway crack a joke. You know what I'm saying? See his ass walking slow.
Mm-hmm.
Or I remember you was on that thing. Remember that thing you was on? Wasn't a wheelchair, just like a knee thing.
Oh, the like little
like
knee
the little
scooter,
knee, the little
thing.
Scooter thing. I ain't even know. I remember having one. I remember them crutches like hell.
Yeah, I remember them crutches.
Them crutches was hell, boy.
Yeah, knees on them crutches.
I hated them shits.
Did you have the forearm ones or the armpit ones?
Nah, the armpit ones.
Those
shits
is crazy. I broke my ankle in 8th grade and I got the forearm ones. I'd be looking like Timmy from South Park. But I got good at those motherfuckers. I can walk on them like Stilton shit.
So after, when I told my ACA, I was just spending hours and hours in the drafting room, right?
Right.
But, like, one of the cool things about the drafting shit, the dude, Mr. Williams, he was a wild teacher. He was just on your head. Like, drafting, like, bro, you can't make no mistake. Like, if the line go an eighth of an inch longer than it's supposed to, that's a deduction. You know what I'm saying? That's 100. Now you're down to 98.
Right.
Now you're down to 60. Like, so he was just on your head about the details. But what he used to make us do, he was like, yo, for the whole semester, you have to turn in 100 white sheets of paper front and back. You have to make lines because you had to like work on like writing your words and stuff, writing in all capital and things like that. So you had to turn in 100 sheets front and back. He was like, I don't care what you write on them, but fucking I need my 100 sheets before the semester's over. So at first, I was writing Hot Boys records. I was just writing like the lyrics to my favorite motherfuckers, Outkast shit, Hot Boy shit, 8 Ball and JG, UGK shit. Like I was pushing it out. And then I was like, you know what? Let me just put my life on these hoes real quick. Wow. You know what I'm saying? Like that's when I really started writing again. Wow. Like, that shit was crazy. Like it was something that I hated, but like I turned something that I hated into something that I love. Right. Like, I used to hate doing that shit.
Wow. I ain't started the same way. When I was first starting doing this shit, it was literally like I said, staying on the fucking bus. Right. And niggas just started freestyling. Right. So I just started doing that shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's really how I started. Like I remember when I was a little kid, my dad used to always just do that shit. Like when my dad used to live in South Carolina when I lived in Georgia. So it was me, my mom, my little brothers, and we was in Atlanta. My dad would come down, you know what I'm saying? He had a job out there, so he'll come down on the weekends or come down whenever he could, like, you know what I'm saying, every like couple weeks or whatever.
Right.
Come down, and when he come down, he ain't always tell me, he just come pick me up from school, and I be like, oh shit, this nigga here, like, you know what I'm saying? Right. Oh shit, this nigga here today. So I get a car with that nigga, first thing he'll do, turn him on and make me freestyle to it. But it's like little elementary school freestyle, so it ain't matter. And then he put me like in a little talent show in eighth grade, so I knew I could rap a little bit, but not eighth grade. I was 8 years old. I was third grade. But I was like, I knew I could rap a little bit, but it wasn't like I gave a fuck. So, you know what I'm saying? By the time I'm like riding the MARTA bus and shit, like, you know what I'm saying? Riding that shit to school, riding around with the high school kids and shit, them niggas doing that shit. So, if I could, I'd get in on one, you know what I'm saying? Right. Like, if I could. And as I started doing that, that's when niggas started, like, more and more people started saying, like, I mean, I never forget that nigga, and I did that shit one time at school, and that nigga Fred Murray was like, yo, you really be rapping. I was like, yo, you just gave me the biggest ego boost ever. But I still kept that shit cool, you know what I'm saying? I went through high school, I wasn't recording a bunch of shit. I made like maybe one or two songs with like my nigga who lived up the street from me. But I always was just like in the hallway doing that shit, outside in the parking lot doing that shit, goddamn, you know what I'm saying? Like I was that nigga, like, was like, you know what I'm saying? Oh, what's up? Come through. I give you a couple of little, you know what I'm saying? Hey, get them lines off.
Right.
Niggas be like, oh, I used to just do it for that moment. Like, I used to just do it. I wasn't necessarily trying to write, but I was just living for that goddamn.
The validation.
You know what I'm saying? Not the validation, just that high. Like the moment where everybody has moment. When they all think something that's fire at the same time. I don't, fuck the validation. I don't need nobody to think I'm cool. It's like about like a nigga who like you say some shit and everybody just gets to enjoy it at the same time.
Yeah.
I used to live for that shit. And I still do, you know what I'm saying? Like, but niggas used to do this shit all the time. Like, that's kind of how I started doing it. And I ain't started like thinking about making like songs consistently for real until I heard him. He was doing that shit in 11th grade and he claimed playing me like a CD of like 3 or 4 songs. I'm like, damn,
shit.
This nigga made like 4 real songs. Like, I was doing this shit, you know what I'm saying? I was like, man, fuck this. This nigga ain't the only nigga just making songs. All
right.
Like, cause like, before I had made like 1 or 2 like little like, cause Snap Music was business. So I made some Snap songs. Yeah. But that was just cause that was the beats we had. And other than that, I was the nigga who just say some shit, you know what I'm saying, blah, blah, blah.
You like, had punchlines or something, yeah?
Not even punchlines. No? Well, punchlines, I was a little more into them back then. But even beyond that, it was like, I could just come up out of the top of my head a little, you know what I'm saying? And it was high school where nobody else was doing that. So, like, it'd be like a few niggas, but like not like it is now where everybody trying to do that shit. Like, back then, especially, like, you couldn't just get a studio from the Apple Store.
Right,
you know what I'm saying? Like,
now
you could just go to the Apple Store and get a studio. Like, then getting a studio was down there. And, bro, first time I seen some equipment, I was like, bro, what the fuck this shit?
I ain't know how these niggas got that shit.
Bro, that shit look crazy.
These folks, I went to middle school with my like nigga Mercy. They had, he had Cube.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
shout out to Mercy,
my boy Mercy.
And John
shout
Cinco.
Out Mercy.
And
they were the
Yaki
first
Dibiashi.
Studio we came through on Willis Mill, all Cascade.
We recorded our first song together, and we
left from Maze, pulled up to them on Willis Mill, pulled up at their house studio, so and was like,
it's a horrible song out there somewhere.
Went downstairs.
This is the first time you two worked together.
Yeah, it's a horrible song.
Because
I was with the dude Tonio as well. Tonio came up with us as well. He was a year ahead of us.
Mm-hmm.
So we used to, you know what I'm saying, Tony like writing stuff together.
He was like
too.
The man. Like, mm-hmm.
Tony
was like,
he used to get crazy.
Like, he was like a year before us, and like so
he
like,
already had it.
Yeah, he was nice, but we all three was born in October. He was born in October 88. He was born in October following, and I was born in October after that. So we like 3 years October, and we was all that shit was fine. Like and then but like
what, Tony, so y'all Libras?
No, I'm a Scorpio.
Oh, okay.
I'm late October.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we could get into the astrology another podcast. Holla at your boy.
Wait, you fuck with astrology?
Yeah, I've been researching, man. I've been doing my research for some years now. But holla at your boy.
People cloud on me when I bring up astrology on the show. On the show, but I find it, I don't know if I fully believe in it, but it's interesting shit, you know?
Nah, I've been doing the natal charts recently, so I just been doing it for people who want me to do it. Like,
oh, really?
You can't force it on nobody.
You're like really about it.
Nah, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't force it on nobody. Yeah. They all have to be willing. But once the door is open, you know what I'm saying? It's like, yo, this is just something that, this is just another science that people don't know about. So you always learning though. It's never like one rule fits all or one size fits all. You always learning and always using it. It's not like, oh, you're set. These are the set ways. This is how your life will be forever. It's just like, yo, these are tools that you came into this life with. These are experiences that you came into this life with. How you gonna use them in this life?
The thing that really interests me about it is that I know kind of like the compatibility charts. So like, I'm a Cancer. When I hear like the homies a Scorpio, I'm like, oh, we'll probably get along pretty good. Like, and just because I've read that in charts and shit, but that's actually like, for some reason, all of my best friends in life and all of the people I'm drawn to in life, they fit the same fucking astrology signs for some reason. And
that's crazy because like your sun sign is really just the tip of the iceberg. It's, it's really your outward personality. That's, you know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, you know, I'm Cancer, a double Cancer and shit, so.
I feel you.
So you guys linked together in what you said, what, 11th grade at this point? And that's when you made your first song?
We made the first song in 12th grade. Like I said, shout out to Mercy and Johnny Cinco and Yaki DiBiase. They all still working.
And so you guys were had a big crew at that point? Were you trying to do like a big kind of collaborative effort?
We had a big crew, but that first song wasn't a big, it was literally just us on the song, but it was thinking to be, like, at the time we was bouncing around, man. We was talking, I remember at one point, the nigga Money Making Neek was pitching a group idea to us, and like, not, when I say pitching, I don't mean like sitting in a meeting. Like, it was like, we was homies with the nigga.
I went to middle school with Neek.
So yeah, he came suggesting like, oh, why don't we all just do this big ass shit? And I remember, you know what I'm saying, that was including a lot of people. And then I remember for a little while, we was recording over at Curtis Williams from 2-9 House, his big brother. His big brother had a little laptop.
That was low-key one of my first times going into one of the condos up in Buckhead. I was like, what going on right now? I was like, from where I'm from. Where we going, bro? What we finna do? Oh, they nigga living like, oh.
Yeah, his brother had us on the laptop. We made a bunch of like little terrible like first attempts at records back then, and then we really started like trying to put sound together in college. And then we really started trying to make like real projects.
Was it just serendipitous that you guys ended up at Hampton together? Were you guys like, yo, we should like, if we're going to college, let's be near each other so we could be in a group?
No, it wasn't like that. We both got accepted. I don't even know if I was even vocal about my application process, because I didn't really first want to go to college. I had to do the whole thing with my mom. Like, she was like, look, you getting a lot of scholarship offers. You smart.
For baseball or what?
Nah, I was done with baseball by then. I had scholarship offers, mostly academics, to be honest.
Really?
Like, yeah, so like, you know what I'm saying?
So both of you guys are pretty heady individuals. Like, both of y'all.
Yeah. I'm smart. We got different approaches.
Niggas
to thought,
is learned.
But we smart as fuck, though.
I mean, you can hear it in the music, obviously.
Yeah, that's what I said. We smart as fuck. But right. like, yeah, I you know what I'm saying? Niggas test scores was pretty straight. And I was surprised, but I did one thing. I had a counselor in high school who really believed in me. Miss Murray. Shout out Miss Murray. Miss Murray made me apply for every scholarship. Like, she used to take me out of class. She used to goddamn. Like, I spent more time in her office than anywhere in my city in high school. Like,
my mom was a counselor.
See, yeah,
they're good people.
A good counselor. Yeah, yeah, a good one is a great person. A bad one is the worst person. Like,
a good one gonna stick with you.
Right.
A good one gonna stick with you.
Used to be times like she used to literally pull me by the ear on some shit. Like, I used to be like, man, I'm chilling right now. Like, you see me on the hallway grabbing some butts. Like, she used to come get me all the time. So I finished college with a lot of motherfucking scholarship money, like, just off the strength of my head. And then that alone had my mom was like, she was already telling me to go to college. My mom been to college. So she was already telling me to go to college. Like, she actually had me in college, you know what I'm saying? She got a degree. But like, she got them, was like, look, you need to do this shit. And I was like, I don't know. I think I'm gonna try to do such and such. I know at the time I was talking about doing something like, radio some shit. I ain't know what I meant though. I was 17. I was like, I'm gonna do something radio some shit. I don't know.
Right.
And she was like, what? She was like, just go to college until you figure out what exactly the fuck that means.
Yeah, she said you better go get on some college radio.
Yeah, go do something. Yeah, she suggested that too, and I never did. I almost did that one time, and I was like, man, I really don't like the people that do this type of shit. I was like, it's really not my type of people. No shade to anybody doing radio, but
yeah, no shade to the radio.
But like, just being in that environment, I went to college my first semester. I was a broadcast journalism major. I was trying to be, and I went in and I was like, man, these folks ain't really my kind of people, bro. Like, not they just like their approach to it was different. I'm thinking all you gotta do is just look cool, sound cool on the radio. You know what I'm saying? People talk to you, people want to call in. I ain't know it was a whole, like, these people actually wanted to do, like, I don't know. It's just like they was all, they looked at it as a ticket to be famous, and they wasn't just trying to be like a journalist or a personality. They was trying to actually be like a star through that. And I think that's corny. If you're going to be a star, then actually go for the fucking stardom. Like, go act or something. You know what I'm saying? Or go, you know what I'm saying, do something else. Not that you can't be a radio star.
Go host
star,
a podcast.
Like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, but like, they wasn't hosting podcasts and shit. They was like, coming under the guise of we're journalists, but y'all don't want to be journalists. Like, just go do something else. Like, you don't have to lie about that. You know what I'm saying?
They're like, oh, this college radio is how I'm going to become like an MTV VJ. Exactly. Yeah,
everybody wanted to be a fucking MTV fucking DJ. That's really what it was. If I'm breaking it the fuck down, that's what it was. And I was just like, man.
Hey, shout out Carson Daly. You know,
I don't want to be that, bro. Like, if y'all niggas want to be that, then cool. But I don't want to be that. So I changed my major to psychology because at the time, it was the major that matched up the most with the classes I already took. So I'm like,
So it wasn't because, like, I've always heard people that major in psychology is because they want to figure out what's going on in their
head. Going on, yeah. Why they so crazy, or why the world so fucked up, or why they dad ain't hug them, or why they mom, slap somebody else. I had them kind of things to think about, you know what I'm saying? I had a lot of fuck shit going on while I was a psych major back home, but like, I didn't go there looking for answers.
Right.
You dig? I ain't go to that building with those people looking for answers.
Were you somebody that everything you read about psychology, you're like, oh, that's what's wrong with me?
Nope.
I took a couple psychology classes. Everyone, I was like, oh, I'm histrionic. Oh, I'm fucking OCD. I'm that.
What you got to do is read through it. Like, I read through all that shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wasn't like blind to the shit, but like, I still didn't. You can't just take everything and just be like, okay, well, this six white people tell me this in this book. Six white person and a black person told me this in this book. You know what I'm saying? You gotta take it and you gotta decipher it with your own interpretation. Right. You know what I'm saying? But a lot of that was my biggest pet peeve about college. Like, people that think they smart, but you ain't smart, bro. You just literally just read and believe quickly. Like,
right.
That don't mean you a smart person. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't. I came from where niggas actually use their brain, and they might not have never read no book, but they'll use their brain better than you. You know what I'm saying? Like, in a second, like.
I got a question for you guys about group dynamic. Because talking to you both, you didn't have to tell me like you guys are smart. You could tell that shit. But I feel like you guys are different types of smarts, whereas like your smart seems very structured and like organized, and yours is kind of like the fact that you got into it freestyling and he got into it writing on graph paper. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe yours is a little more chaotic. Like,
They say that. Yeah. People say that sometimes.
Does that make it easier working together since opposites kind of attract or what?
Yeah, it's definitely a balance. Yeah. Like I say, you know what I'm saying? Niggas want to try.
And am I wrong about that? Are you structured?
Nah,
I could be totally wrong.
I mean, I am. I'm completely structured. But like, the cool thing about it is like, turning my weaknesses into my strengths. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I be working on. So, like, the stuff that I love to do, I love completing records. I love sitting in there, you know what I'm saying? Like, lining up shit, going through the track outs and, like, doing things like... That's shit that I love to do. Like, that shit's normal to me.
Right.
But, like, well, I also love
the
just
details.
Writing. Uh-huh. Like, the details is normal to me. But I also love in there just going in there and be like, okay.
Get loose.
I'm kind of tipsy right now. Let me hurry and put this song down. And then leave it. And then be like, okay, cool. Like, what I used to take too long to write records. But, like, I really just like writing shit in a day sometimes. Like, all right, cool. Writing shit in a sitting. Uh-huh. Like, cool. All right, let me go do something else. Let me go have some fun. You know?
Are you super OCD with your bars?
I used to be. Yeah. I used to be.
I mean, I could hear it. Like, I used to rap and shit. But, I don't bring that up a lot, but like, a fucking, I could hear when you guys rap that you care very deeply about your words and the words need to be in the right place and all that shit.
I've been working on not caring, though. Really? That's just what I've been working on. Yeah, like, that's been my whole shit, is just not caring. Like,
but it ain't necessarily that I give a fuck about, like, each word placement. I just want to make sure that it feel good.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's my biggest thing. I don't even care necessarily if you know the words or don't know the words or blah, blah, blah. Now, knowing the words, I understand as an artist, knowing the words help the song go.
Right.
And you know what I'm saying? That's a big deal. But like every time, it don't matter. As long as, because if it feel good, you gonna fuck with it anyway. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, we out here providing a feeling. You know what I'm saying? Like what we do is important, but it ain't, you know what I'm saying, necessarily the biggest thing in the cosmos. It's just what we do is we act as agents of feelings. You know what I'm saying? We're gonna provide that shit for you, dude. So that's just another part of nation.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
We spoke on Atlanta earlier, but I'm interested in like the huge like boom of creativity. I mean, I feel like it's been going on for like almost a decade now out of Atlanta. Yeah, but Atlanta is
more than
like
a decade.
It always kind of ebbs and flows, but right now Atlanta is really fucking on fire.
It's been going on
that cash shit started in the 90s, bro.
But it's been going on before them, though.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Like, you want to really talk about it. I'm not saying that they started. I'm just saying like that was the 90s. That was 20 years ago. So you could really, you know what I'm saying? The South's wave has been going strong for a minute, but Atlanta in particular wave has been happening for a while. I know I grew up, like when I was a little kid, my favorite nigga I used to like listen to when I was like little, like maybe between like 3 to 6, Kilo Ali. Man, if y'all ain't heard Kilo Ali, go listen to some Kilo. He got a little shit on Spotify, but like he had some harder shit that wasn't on Spotify.
Yeah, my boy, my nigga Butter came through with the Kilo Ali.
You know about Kilo?
Love your
mouth. Hey, bro, I used to, this is how strong Kilo was through the hood, bro. My dad used to bunk Kilo,
yeah,
and his mom used to bunk Kilo,
oh,
bro.
Wow. Like so my generational.
My grandma was old.
Yeah,
she old, but that his shit was so motherfucking melodic in the 90s, right. that she would fuck with that shit. I remember she used to play that shit for us when we was like, she was like whenever she picked me and my cousins up, she had an Oldsmobile. She stayed out of Oakland City, off Kenilworth.
Mm-hmm.
And she'll got them pull up and play that shit. And all her grandkids just be got that. She used to be lit, bro. Like,
right.
It's like, Kilo was like, you know what I'm saying? So like, we that Atlanta sound, that wave of like, there's a lot of niggas that do shit now that's really just sound like, you know what I'm saying, Kilo influence, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Like us on a lot of records, you know what I'm saying? A lot of shit I hear YF and Lucci do, so I'm like, damn, that shit got that kind of Kilo vibe to it. Damn, that shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, I get it, you know what I'm saying? When I hear that shit, it ain't, to everybody else, it's like, oh, damn, these niggas in Atlanta been killing it for 8 years. They ain't even killing it for 10 years. Nah, bro. For real, we was influencing everything, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can hear some Kilo influence in Nelly, bro, and you know what I'm saying? You can hear that shit, you can hear, like, the influence been long-standing.
Right.
But the prominence is, like, the
influence is definitely long-standing, and, like, you know, I'm originally from Alaska, and
oh, shit.
Atlanta, Atlanta rap was like enormous in Alaska when I was a kid.
That's fine.
You know, we were listening to soul food nonstop.
In Alaska.
Yeah, he'd been helping the fried chicken, macaroni and cheese.
That's
like
fine,
I grew up
bro.
On that shit.
He took
but,
it back.
But
That's
what I'm saying,
crazy.
But what I'm saying is. It's like there are ebbs and flows of a city's dominance, you know what I mean? And so it was like Atlanta for a while, and then it went to Chicago or whatever. Los Angeles had its little moment again, but now it's like really back to Atlanta. Atlanta's like ruling the charts.
Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous.
But there's so much variety that's going on. And I look at what folks like you and Jid, just Spillage Village as a whole, and then like Deontay that I was talking about, that are like very bar heavy, and then you have the like crazy outlandish melodic like voice as an instrument dudes like Thug and Rallo and there's so much diversity and in the sounds. Like, do those scenes ever cross paths in Atlanta?
Yeah, definitely.
In the strip club, at the mall, goddamn,
hey,
and when the little underground parties and shit, like in studios, they cross paths. Like, I done been places at little creative joints, little fashion show. We went to this one fashion show that was like at this underground Atlanta art scene. My nigga Future was there, front row. You know what I'm saying? Like Future though, this is like DS2 Future. You know what I'm saying? This is like really Future after Sierra Future. Like he's in there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Monster
like so it's
future.
like yeah, yeah. So it's like niggas really yeah, be see, there. You know what I'm saying?
You
like,
never know who you see somewhere.
That's, and
bro.
That's the best thing about the city. Like, it really is like a big family, big community. Like, you can see these people wherever, whenever. Right. Like, it's not like, oh, these folks stay on this side of town.
Right.
Or these folks that only come in these joints. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yo, being anywhere, you can see these folks and they'll say what's up to you and you just be in the right places and you be around the people, you're going to see the people.
Atlanta the black L.A. Because if you come out here, you see a bunch of niggas that you ain't expect to see either, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
What Atlanta does. That's what Atlanta just...
A lot of Atlanta folks end up moving out here.
Yeah, that's true. Now a lot of people are moving back to Atlanta.
Because you can't concentrate here. It's too much fun.
Yeah, and because, you know, a lot of niggas, like, movies is getting shot like a motherfucker in Atlanta. Like, movies and shows and shit. Like,
yeah,
you can't drop. You can't go nowhere. Mm-hmm. Without seeing nobody saying some shit up. That's because it's cheaper out there to do that shit. So
tax cuts.
And it's just cheaper because it's Georgia. So, like, niggas come out there.
My mom was telling me that, like, right when we got back from school, she was like, yo, like, the movie industry is about to get crazy. We went to some little, the Jimmy Hoffa's. What is it?
The Teamsters.
Yeah, not the Teamsters, but what they call the Union.
Oh, the Union. Yeah, okay.
The Jimmy Hoffa's.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're close. I understand.
But we just came to a couple of film union, like, just, like, kickbacks or whatever, and I was just like, what's, like, film in Atlanta? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's crazy. That's so new. But, like, over the past 5 to 6 years, like, with just the influx, like, Tyler Perry Studios, bro, is in our hood. Like, our hood.
Right.
It's, like, it's, like, right down the street from where I went to elementary school. It's right down the street from Greenbrier Mall. So, it's, like, it's in the hood where niggas grew up. So, it's, like, yo, to see that industry come and be parked 2 blocks away from where we went to school, 2 blocks away from the apartments, you know what I'm saying?
Reality TV is out there.
Yeah, like, it's crazy.
That shit's
it's
so
wild.
Crazy. That reality TV shit crazy as fuck, bro.
Little Women of Atlanta?
I just watched that shit for the first time last week with my homegirl, Shelly. Shout out to Shelly. She had me come through and look at that shit. I was not expecting to even see that shit.
It's wild.
That shit is a whole different... I don't know where the fuck they be at, bro.
Right.
I don't know, bro. I don't know where no reality show folks be at, bro. Like, they be in them, like, they be in, I don't know, sometimes unless they be at, like, certain clubs, sometimes you can tell the club they at, but, like, they be just, I don't know, them restaurants and shit, I don't know where that shit is, but, like, that reality shit is going crazy.
Yeah,
man,
no,
like,
shit. What year did you guys get back from college? Is that, like, around 2010?
2012.
And when you get back to the city, you guys had already released records?
It was like
we just had a band camp that was like almost I'm not gonna say it was the intention, but it was almost just for our friends at that point. Like, wasn't like we ain't had no solid management, we ain't have a lot
shit
of things.
Facebook,
yeah, we just put shit out like just
camp
for a couple of people to listen to us rap type shit. It wasn't like it was our efforts at recording, and that was like our chances to like ever first go into the studio a couple of times, and we ain't had nobody coming in there like, look, I got a beat for y'all, you know what I'm saying? We had end up getting Jack Swain and JB, but like at first it wasn't even that. Like, my man was doing everything on Reason. Yeah, so it was like, you know what I'm saying? It was like learning, and it was like literally autodidactic, like learning while we do the shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, learning as we went. And we would just put it on the internet because that's what we had access to, you know what I'm saying? Put it on Facebook, put it on Bandcamp. A couple, you know what I'm saying, people look at it, you know what I'm saying? Nah, it wasn't nothing. So like, we came back from school, we niggas had, you know what I'm saying? Niggas had the fire up on them. Niggas had the fury.
Right. What was the mindset when you get back to the city? And who were you guys running into at that time?
We was running into everybody. We was running into all the people who we was in middle school and high school. Like, it was just like, yo, we back. It wasn't even like a we back, because, like, I ain't want to just, you know, scream to the top of the lungs. It was like, yo, like, we been doing this shit around niggas who ain't give a fuck for the longest. Yeah. So now we finna do this shit around our people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
we finna
give a fuck. You know what I'm saying?
Came back with the fire, bro. We was really hot.
That's what we made that Shallow Graves for Toys, like, when we came back.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Like, we started working with Mafia and shit. Me and like, toward the end, like I had already did all my shit to earn my credentials from Hampton, but toward the end, me and Jid and a couple other guys did some bullshit, ended up getting kicked out of school.
Oh,
you know what
shit.
I'm saying? Like, whole little thing happened. So we came home. Like, I came home, like, really, like, you know what I'm saying? The incident was so fucked up. The trial took over a year. So I came home. I'm still, like, on, like, paperwork and shit. Like, I'm still, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I done went from, like, being the first of my brothers to do this shit to, like, now I'm the nigga, you know what I'm saying? So all my little brothers looking at me like, damn, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? You was close. You was about to do this shit. You know what I'm saying? You get this close and then goddamn fuck some shit up. So I came back with that. I'm like, that was just from my, that's from the whole fan. That's from everybody. Like, damn, bro. You get that close and then you just resort to doing some nigga shit. Like, damn, you still a nigga. So it's like that I came back with the heat from that shit. And going into Shallow Graves is the process. I was making sure I was goddamn like hitting up certain niggas to work with. Like we made that machete shit like off of that type of vibe, like fucking with Chris Fresh. And that was like at the time, like it was so crazy. Like at the time, the whole 808 Mafia, all them niggas used to be, they had this little house off of little five points. And it was like,
that's like a little, everybody used to go in there. Place, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
Everybody used to be in that bitch, bro, like just in there making like a little song. Like it's crazy to see these 808 Mafia niggas like huge and rich and famous now, because it's like, damn. So around this time we get back from school, these type of niggas we see around the city. I'm seeing the 808 Mafia niggas in Lil Five. I'm seeing, like, we went to Beer & Tacos, first time Amigos did that shit.
Oh,
so
shit.
They young, you know what I'm saying? The only thing that they had at the time was Bando and Versace, for real, for real. Versace hadn't even had Drake on it yet. It was just them niggas doing that shit. Niggas was still turning. So we seeing that shit. I see, I'm buying weed and shrooms from this nigga McConan. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so it's like.
So then, you knew the awful guys too?
Oh, yeah. Shit, mm-hmm. Used to buy weed off Archibald Slim. I used to actually smoke with that nigga. That was
nigga
my dog
Black
for
used to
a
come
while.
To
yeah.
a crash on the crib.
Oh, yeah. That nigga Black stayed with us for almost a year.
His record is so fucking good.
He going crazy.
He's about to blow.
He's blowing as we speak. Right. He's going crazy right now. Right. But he slept on my mama's couch at our crib for like forever. Like we had a little house on the west. So like
that's so cool, man.
And Gia stayed there too. Like we all did. You know what I'm saying? So like,
and then you guys fuck with 2-9 as well.
Yeah, and I said we met them niggas. Like we met Kurt back in high school.
Way before,
you know what I'm saying? Met Kurt before any of this shit. So like, but we get back at home and like we seeing all these people that we just knew around the city that's actually working forward, not just niggas that just was talking about that shit when we was kids. Like these niggas that's actually that we knew said that shit, and then they just took the leap. Like everybody, like, so it's like, you know what I'm saying? If Atlanta was a cliff, it'd be just like a bunch of people just flying at the same time. Like niggas was just all just going for it. Like, and so we was like, we right back in it. We like, damn, you know what I'm saying?
When you look back on that time, this is just, it fucking must feel good.
It was some crazy summers, cool, bro. Huh? We had like, it was some crazy summers, bro, back before anybody was really getting anything, but everybody was performing at everybody's show. Like, we did one show, bro, and the flyers out there somewhere, whoever got that nigga Buck through it, I'll never forget. It was us, it was 2-9, it was Young Thug.
It was Stoner had dropped.
Like, Stoner was new.
Like, before he got his new teeth?
Yes. Way before. But Stoner was new. That nigga was still, he wasn't even dressing his friend. Like, he still was wearing 10 deep back then. Like, that nigga
crazy. Crazy all
bro.
White 10 deep. I'm
yeah,
like,
bro, that's
yo,
what I'm saying. Like, he wasn't even as fresh as he is now. That nigga like I seen him in Fashion Week today. That nigga went crazy. But like, but like
they
back then,
that Stoner though. But
he
like,
was there.
Like everybody
was there. Money
know?
Making Neat was there. We performed. Fucking like hella like niggas that's like still working to this day performing. Like, whoever got that flyer, I need to look at it and see who else I can even remember. I know I was on Molly.
I was like, you got that flyer.
It was a spilled milk.
It was like in July. It was hot. It was a crazy show, man. That whole show was crazy. Mm-hmm. That was just a crazy night.
We was on some
rock star shit that night, bro. Like that shit was. It was wild. It was just the whole city was in that bitch though. Like
that's so dope.
Like it was like a big ass party, and none of us was really famous yet, but everybody was like OT
dub.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's like this shit is fire.
Right. Now that everybody that you just mentioned is like really putting in work and doing their thing, and people are getting signed, people are like blowing way the fuck up, people on their way to blowing up. Do you ever miss those times of like just the come up?
Yeah.
You know,
the come up happened until you die. But,
But you mean that phase?
Yes, yeah. I do miss that phase sometimes.
When it wasn't so much about business, because eventually it becomes. About
oh no,
business,
now it's so solidly business.
Yeah.
Back then it was a lot more.
It was a lot more like whatever.
You know what I'm saying?
It was like
whoever, let's do this because we love this.
Yeah,
and like whoever would come to the studio just be on some shit. Like now niggas
be
specific about who in the
studio. When we go to the studio, fuck with Childish and stuff. Sometimes. Folks still come through. We still see folks here and there, but like it's like there's still like these people out here doing their stuff. We over here doing our stuff.
At the end of the day,
what
you don't
want to
be
this,
before,
you know what I'm
before you want to be somebody's friend, you don't want to be the nigga that's like left behind. You know what I'm saying? Like you want to be the nigga who's like, look, I'm blazing my path over here. Whatever path you blazing, but I'm blazing this way, and it's gonna keep blazing. You know what I'm saying? You do not want to be the nigga who just didn't keep blazing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like at the end of the day. Everybody looking at each other blaze, and you got that's how it was. But like, you know what I'm saying? Like No Limit and Cash Money and all that shit. Like, them niggas, like, they shit got a little more heated. But, like, I'm just saying, like, as far as, like niggas seeing, like, look, we all out here and we all gonna keep doing this shit. Or, and if right. you, and not to say we ain't seen some niggas, like, there's a lot of artists that we thought was gonna be more into this shit back then that's that not right now. You know what I'm saying?
Burned out or
end up doing other have just changes with their lives or whatever.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Whatever take a nigga to that way, they went that way. And like and it's crazy to see each time, every few months or so, you see who's okay, cool. Damn, all right, cool. Let you know what I'm saying, let the Lord keep working, let keep doing this shit. And you know what I'm saying? Another one happened. Mm-hmm. And like, you know what I'm saying? And like, not to say that the length of career is necessarily the amount of success, but it is about being able to sustain.
Stick to it.
You know what I'm
saying? Stick to it. Like,
being able to
wake
maintain.
Up every day and stick the fuck to it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's niggas been sticking to this shit for years, like way before. Like, it's just this shit running the blood. So it's like, yo, I'm gonna get up. I'm gonna do this shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, regardless of anything, any distraction, any outer, like, orbiting, whatever was going on around, like, it's like, yo, this is what I was born to do. And many other things too, you know what I'm saying? So I'm gonna go out, do those things, and I'm gonna draw those things into this.
Yeah.
But like, I'm gonna stick to this shit, you know?
Okay, so we're just about to start wrapping it up. So I wanna like summarize to those that are new to Earth Gang, just tell me about Spillage Village as a whole.
Spillage Village is a collective of MCs and producers and creative people that just, we started off when we all started hanging up in school up in Virginia. Us and JID started it, and then JB's involved. Hollywood JB's a producer. He's also a pretty crazy rapper too. If he ever feel like doing
that
shit,
wild.
He's a crazy. He
wanna
be
JL
now because he just wanna not do that shit and be talented. But like, and then
gonna Jordan, find a rich got, English woman.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I'm saying? But like, we got. You know what I'm saying? It's a vibe. It's a squad, and it's how we started this shit. It's how we rode together them summers that them summers was what they was. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, all them summers and winters where niggas was on them type of shows where everybody was on it. Like, that was us. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, so now everybody, like, we're gonna put out a few projects as a total squad. The Bears Like This series. If you find it,
it's
Bears Like This.
Great.
Bears Like This Too. Bears Like This Too Much. You know what I'm saying? They kind of exhibit our unification, and you know what I'm saying, going forward,
which is crazy,
and our versatility too.
Yeah, and our versatility.
Like, none of them sound the same.
I was gonna say they're versatile, but they're also so cohesive. They sound like crew records. They don't sound like compilations.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
what I mean? Like,
and
they all,
and that's what we did. That's what we strive for with each other, man.
They sound like LPs.
So yeah, so like now, you know what I'm saying, like the next two things you're gonna catch from us, JID got a project on the way. It's amazing.
Shout out Jed.
Yeah, Jed.
We love Jed.
That's my bro. And then Earth Gang got a project coming, and it's you know what I'm saying, it's on OT Dub. It's OT Dub.
This year?
Yeah.
What is you guys' connection with, like, how J. Cole end up on the tape? Is that just the bro or what?
Cole reached out to us
when we was
reached out a little bit before the episode too, like through somebody else, and I remember we was like, what? And we didn't know if that was real or whatever. So we never really even like I don't know what that ever was, but there was like a one point where he heard us or something, and it was like a thing, but it was like we never really did nothing with that. Then we was on tour.
On the Soul tour.
Yeah, we was on tour with Soul and Boss, and you know Boss is
Boss on Dreamville, right?
Yeah, so Boss, you know what I'm saying? We had already opened for Boss one time in the A, then we hopped on a tour with them, and that was all I got. We did that whole tour like on some grind shit.
Is Boss from Carolina too?
Nah, Boss from New York. He's from Queens.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he a real Queens nigga.
Okay.
He was born in Paris.
No shit.
Yeah.
Huh.
Boss is like a superhero.
He's Sudanese.
he's so good at rapping.
He's good at partying, bro. If you never party with that nigga, bro, that nigga turn up. I don't care who the fuck you been out with. I don't give a fuck who the fuck you been out with, bro. He like a nigga that just keep the party going, bro.
We was in Montreal on his last tour, and like when we left from the show,
bruh,
nigga had a convoy of like 50 people from
nigga,
the show.
It was
we
more
just
than
walked,
50, nigga.
We
I wish I had that video on my phone.
It really
somewhere.
Was about 100 people.
Bruh,
we walked from
like
the from the
people,
show
bruh.
From the show to the club. Like everybody just
follow
like
niggas,
bro. It's crazy, bro. Like
fun.
The yelling shit,
but,
vibing.
But to the
crazy.
Club,
to the
like
club.
That shit was not close. Like it was cold. It was Montreal. Like,
in Montreal, though,
that shit was not like
about 10 to 15 blocks.
Like
walk that shit partying. Not no drugs and walk like drunk and stupor having a great time. around, walk.
Nah, nigga, right, right. Nigga threw a little parade in Montreal.
That's like a fucking second line, first line.
Yeah, bro, that nigga Bosby turned. But anyway, we got down. We on the Soul Tour, and this nigga Cole, we in the New York show. Fucking the sound went out. Niggas freestyled and shit. And so when by the time the sound came back on, they was like, "Oh, them niggas is kind of fire." Go upstairs. Well, go lead the stage. This nigga, somebody come down, "Hey, yo, y'all want to meet Cole?" We like, "Nigga, what the fuck?"
Right.
And so we end up going upstairs. This nigga Cole is upstairs in the with the bitch with the hoodie on.
Folding clothes.
Yeah, right. Yeah, but that bitch with the hoodie on. This nigga like, hey, yo, that shit y'all did when the sound went off, that was real fire, man. That was real, you know what I'm saying? Way to own that shit. Like, you should just kill that shit. So we dab him up, take a little quick snapshot with him. Didn't think much of it. And then the following...
And then got back in the car. And yeah, exactly. Drove the got rest back, of them 30
exactly.
cities.
Got back in the car. We weren't even on the tour bus. We was in the
in a Traverse. We hit
in
50
a Chevy
cities.
Traverse, bro.
And like, we hit 50 cities like, in like 50 days.
This nigga
bro.
Did a lot like, of the driving, bro.
This nigga
our
did
manager.
Damn near 99% of the driving. Like
bro. Through the country,
people in the
bro.
Chevy Traverse around the country.
Smelling each other farts,
we
bro.
We went from damn...
Like, just living with this
Buffalo,
shit.
New York. The crazy shit was from Buffalo to Pittsburgh, from Pittsburgh to Seattle. We just had to, like, hit
what
them
the
real
fuck?
Quick.
That shit,
we had to hit those real quick.
That's
so
a long drive.
And then a lot of shows, we were just coming in right on our set. We was just hopping out the car.
Bro, we
right.
was coming
like,
in right
jumping
on
the
bro.
Stage.
Like, nigga hopping on stage and the shit they slept in the night before.
Like,
hopping on stage, like, damn, we barely on time. We not gonna get to do this shit.
Cause
we wasn't on no bus. We couldn't afford it.
Right.
And we gonna do this shit. We gonna do it.
Yeah, but then, like, so the following year, the nigga Cole invited us to come up to the crib.
Yeah.
We came up and you know what I'm saying, kicked it with him, got to talk with him and shit. And then we end up...
going back out on Bud with Boss.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
While we was up there, the first thing we did, the first time we put it to the crib, he played a beat and was like, "All right, I need y'all to get on this right now. It's your boys. Welcome to the crib. You got to get on this shit to be here." I was like, "Hey, I was like, all right, nigga, we're touche. We'll play your game." You know what I'm saying? Like, so
right.
we get on the shit and we do this shit. We rap, you know what I'm saying? Bar it up, whatever. Rap on your beat. Cool. And that nigga was like, "All right, cool. These niggas, you know what I'm saying?" But we had already talked and stuff.
Yeah.
So then, like, after a while, like, over time, we just, you know what I'm saying, built a bond with Cole, with Boss, with this whole little squad over there. Like, they real niggas and they thorough and they about their business and they work hard and that shit is inspirational as fuck.
Word.
So it's like you gotta see people working hard. You gotta see people that's getting to it, you know what I'm saying? No matter what the fuck is going on around them, like, they still getting to it. Like, it's people like that still getting, it's like, yo, alright, cool. Like, these niggas feeding their families. Like, that's, mm-hmm. At the end of the day, I don't give a fuck who you is. If you ain't doing this shit for that, like, niggas out here, you know what I'm saying, talking about this and that. Wait, you know what I'm saying? Wait a minute, make sure your mama's straight. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
So that's really what seeing that shit in so many ways, it's just like, the way they do it is just like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
That shit fire.
Right. I think you guys are going to be taking care of your moms for a while. I think everything is looking up this year. If people want to follow you online, where can they do that?
At Earth Gang, Twitter, Instagram, SoundCloud. Search Earth Gang. We there.
Earth Gang is one word, like watermelon or strawberry.
Yes. Capital E, capital G.
Capital E, capital G.
Earth Gang is one word.
Don't get it fucked up.
And then you guys have solo Twitters too, yeah?
Nah,
no.
I just got the Earth Gang Twitter.
Okay.
I don't even be on that shit like that.
There you
man.
Go.
It's like
Earth Gang.
So stay out those DMs because you don't know if you're going to get Johnny or Doc. So.
You never know.
Yeah, you never know who's
you never
doing
know.
What.
But yeah, guys, if you're listening and you haven't heard Bears Like This Too Much, it was a late release last year, right? Like,
yeah,
end of the year.
Yeah, yeah.
Go get it now. One of my faves of the end of the year last year,
yeah,
which
was cool.
A very hot streak of music
cool.
In general.
It was really the only thing we put out last year. We put out our last project. Earth Gang last project was 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So we put that out last year. Just, you know what I'm saying? That was.
Is that the one that had Mac Miller on it?
Nah,
we put something.
That was
out.
I think that might have been early in 2015. That was like in January
yeah.
of 2015. That
That's
was
the
like
one that I
EP.
Heard about you
yeah.
guys on. Honestly,
yeah, that was a little tour, but EP we put that.
Yeah,
out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, get on Spotify, look for Earth Gang, do whatever you do, wherever you look for music.
Do your fucking
that's
research,
where you guys will
man.
Find it. And
the new shit on the way.
The
it's
new
exciting.
Shit is on the way.
It's
and
exciting.
Jid got new shit on the way too. Mm-hmm. They are saying so. Be on the lookout. Much love to the whole Spillage Village crew. Well, we fuck with you guys heavy. So,
bad.
That is, I think we did what we came to do, so I'm going to do my pitching now, and you guys are free to get up and stretch or whatever. My name is Lee. Some of you guys might know me as Intuition. You can follow me on Twitter at It's Intuition. Follow my man, Ben Shim, behind the boards making the shit sound buttery at I Am Database, base with two S's. You can follow us as a unit at Kinda Neat, and you can go to kindaneat.net, where we have recently relaunched the website, and it looks so beautiful and presentable compared to how it has looked for the last 3 years, so go do that. And remember, if you are a weekly listener, please go to patreon.com/kindaneat. That is patreon.com/kindaneat and pledge $1 per episode. That's about $4 per month. That's $10 less than you pay for HBO Go every month. And you know that that shit ain't worth it because they barely ever put boxing matches up and it's always just new episodes of Girls. So who gives a fuck? Spend some money on Kinda Neat by going to Patreon. That's only if you're a weekly listener. If this is your first episode, don't worry about it. Stick around, hear some more, and then decide. I think you can go to youtube.com/kindaneat where you're going to see Earth Gang perform some fire tonight. Other than that, I think that was it. My name is Lee. That was Earth Gang, and this was Kinda Neat.